everyone, and welcome to Flying Solo Podcast. We have an incredible guest today, Sherry, who is the founder of Designs by Sherrilyn. She has an incredible story to share, how she transitioned her career from non-creative to creative. And Sherry, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Well, Sherry, you have an incredible transition from one career to another, and it's something that is very rare within creative founders. So can you tell me how it's all came about, and what was your corporate career, and how did you go to the creative fields?
So basically, I've always been a creative person since I was a little kid. But you know, you grow up and your parents decide that you're not going to art school, that you're going to go and get a full-blown career. So I started off as nursing and planned to go to medical school, which I did not, but have a wealth of education and stayed in the healthcare side for quite a while. And then I started my own company in federal contracting and ran that from a startup to about 25, 24 years and sold it a few years ago. And I've always done art. I've always painted, done photography, jewelry, fused glass, you name it. I've always done it. And once I sold the company and could financially do what I wanted to do, I decided to go into my art full time. And that's when I really blew up the fused glass and the jewelry and the painting. And then one day I was on a trip and I thought, wow, I take all these great photographs from all these years. I've never done anything with them. Wouldn't it be cool to like design some clothes and utilize my photographs? And that's kind of how the whole thing started. I was like just looking at the window on a river cruise and thought, wow, this is so beautiful. And I have a million photographs, and started playing around to find a production house without really knowing what I was doing. And the next thing you know, I ordered a few pieces. The pieces were beautiful. The quality was beautiful. I made a connection with the production house, and the rest is history. And here we are with a full-blown collection of art to fashion. Every one of them is my photograph that I have turned into material through a very sublimation process. And then it's turned into different apparel. So palazzo pants, shirts, skirts, dresses, you name it. You know, I've got a full-blown clothing line.
Amazing. So it is a very interesting process of how you transfer your photograph to your clothing. So can you tell us a little more about that? So what do you need to do if you're someone trying to bring your art to your clothing piece?
So basically, it's called a sublimation process. And what the company that I work with is very sustainable. So it's vegan inks, vegan dyes, and they basically do what they call the sublimation process, where they actually take the photograph and then I manipulate the photograph to make sure it looks kind of the way I want. And some of the photographs, I have taken them and really manipulated them so it didn't look like a sailboat on your outfit. And then we go back and forth to sort of see what it looks like, and then they'll send me some digital photos of what exactly the photograph looks like on different pieces. And then we just make a decision on yes, no, maybe so. And then they basically dye the material, and then they do a process where they use sublimation, means they create the pattern, and then they put the pattern, they cut it, they sew it, and they ship it to me. So it's pretty much a very well put together process. And I work with a Northern America company up in Canada. So everything is on demand. You order and they make the material and do the whole process of sewing and shipping. So I don't have a ton of clothes sitting in a warehouse. And it makes it very good for the environment as well.
Well, you chose to go to a factory that is sustainable. And I would assume that it will be more expensive to do so compared to do something that will be less sustainable, most likely less expensive. So what was the reason why you decided to go the sustainable route?
You know, it was kind of, I was testing out a lot of different places and the quality was just no comparison. So when I ordered the first couple of pieces and it showed up, I was amazed how beautiful the material was, how well The stitching was just beautiful. And I know that I could probably go to China or some other country and order for like a third or less of the price. But I really wanted a quality looking product, you know, something that I was proud of, something that I knew other people and women would love to wear. And so that's kind of how I made the decision to follow that path. And the sustainability part of it sort of came along with it because the company is very into that. And so I can't say that I was really that knowledgeable about it, but when I found out, because I believe in the environment and taking care of things and making sure that we protect the water, the land, the whatever, and then we got involved with that whole process and that sealed the deal. Like, yeah, I know it was a little bit more expensive, but the quality, and every time somebody touches the material or has anything to do with the product, they're like, wow, you know, this is quality. And that's really what I was all about.
Well, it is, of course, very important to create a quality pieces as part of the beginning of the collection. All I'm saying is it's really not easy for the first-time creative founder to do so. So my compliments to you that you went that route and succeeded. So who were your, every creative entrepreneur remembers their very first clients. So who were your first clients?
Basically, it's been friends. You know, I started in that whole pop-up, invite my friends over and do a pop-up just to test it out, friends and family. Would you pay this price? What do you think of the material? What do you think of the styles? And I did quite a few of those. And we've only been in this game for like a year and a half, so we've really grown pretty fast. And that was kind of my first feeling, like, do you like it? What do you think? And everybody was very positive. And then, well, what do you think about the price tag? I'd pay for this. So we have a small boutique in Local by Design at the gallery in Annapolis where I got to test it. So I did fashion show where I had like 120 people that I invited, and we sold quite a bit. So I've just sort of slowly but surely tested it out on friends and family, and then I moved it up to a fashion show, and then we've been doing pop-ups in different locations, and it just seems to be rocking. So happy, happy girl that I am.
Well, that's incredible. And obviously there was a lot of positive feedback to for your brand. But do any of your clients say, "Hey, I would like this to be fitted different," or "I would prefer this color over this color"? Do you get any of that feedback?
Oh, sure. You know, like people want to have one of the things, our Lena dress, which was sleeveless. And some of my friends who, you know, up in their 50s are like, oh, I don't wear sleeveless. I'm like, well, just guess what? We have a new dress coming out that not only has 3/4 inch sleeves, it also has pockets. Well, that sort of solved the problem of the person who doesn't want the sleeveless. And of course, you know how people are. They're going to all say, well, could you do this? How about making it this color? I have changed the design. Like I started off with a lot of floral prints because that's kind of what I took most of my photographs of. And in the beginning, I didn't have a great plan. I just was sort of playing around thinking that this would be fun, not that I was going to start a business and have it grow to what it's grown to. It was going to be like a hobby. But then as it grew and people were like, well, I don't like flowers. So then I started creating some designs that are more geometrical, that aren't flowery, that have different looks to them. Then I started playing with the photographs and making things sort of funky in the color scheme. So I've hit a lot of colors and I don't do solids. So what my pieces work well with are people that wear solid colors. So you can take a black shirt, black pants, black shoes, and pop one of the shawls on or pop one of the jackets on and dress up something that is absolutely was casual. Especially great for travel. Like this whole line is so perfect for traveling. And I do a lot of traveling because every one of the photographs comes from one of my travels around the world or locally. I've done some things in Annapolis and DC and Florida because that's where I've taken a lot of the photographs too before I really jumped into this. So I get a variety of color and styles and patterns. And I think that's a growing process for me too, as I listen to people and what they like and what they don't like.
I would like to pick your brain as a creative founder and CEO in the past, since it's really unusual path for a lot of designers. So what's your framework in terms of the feedback from your clients? So you offer them the new styles, etc. But let's say someone did tell you that they would prefer a different color. So how do you take this feedback? Do you have a process how you agree, disagree, what's going to go into the future collection?
You being in the business you're in, you can only listen so much because everybody's got an opinion. And so what you like and what I like and what this person likes can't be the guiding light to exactly the decisions I make. So I have a team of women that I work with, and we bring it to the table and we talk about it. And I sketch some things out and I show some pictures before we ever make the first piece. And that's kind of how it's evolved. Like in the beginning, yes, it was a lot of flowers, and then people are like, I don't like flowers. So then I evolved into doing some other things. But I still have to stay kind of true to myself. And because I've been in business and around the block for a while, I have a fairly thick skin, and my ego doesn't get hurt when somebody says, ugh, I don't really like the way that looks. You know, you kind of go, well, how dare you tell me that you don't like the way my stuff looks? But I also have learned just up in New York City that there's a different look. People like things more in the darker colors than the flowery stuff. But I come to Florida where I live in the winter, and everybody's into the flowery stuff and the more flowing. So it seems like there's kind of a difference depending on location as well.
That's actually very valuable feedback because a lot of designers, as you mentioned, get caught in that moment when me is equal what I make, and it's hard to separate for a lot of creative founders. And it's really fresh perspective on when you said that it's just a feedback, and these are my creations, and I separate from me. So I will process that feedback, talk to my colleagues, and see what we think. So should we change it? Should we not? That was just a feedback, and you do have to have a really thick skin, as you mentioned, in order for you to run a business.
Exactly. And you have to listen to people because what you think looks good may not look good. But I've noticed in some of the pop-ups and things that we've done, if I'm wearing something, which I always wear one of my pieces, that's what everybody wants to buy. And I've learned the lesson that I brought in one of my new animal prints to a function recently in the beginning of December. And I didn't have product of that because I hadn't put it out as a collection. And everybody was like, well, can I buy that dress right off of you? You know, you don't have that dress. But I said, you can order it because we're an on-demand kind of game so that if you like this, I can certainly get it for you. But the lesson I learned is if you're showing pieces, make sure what you have on is one of the pieces that's hanging on the rack when you do a pop-up.
Yeah, sure. It's very valuable feedback. It's actually something that a lot of creatives also struggle with, that the idea that someone will order, it's very appealing, but at the same time, people are very often impatient and want everything right here, right now, and that's when it appeals to them the most. You have incredible prints on your garments, and you did mention that you take photographs when you travel all over the world. So what's the process is like when you travel? So do you take trips specifically to take photographs, or do you just travel for yourself, and then when you feel that you want to take a picture, you do so?
Pretty much that. I mean, I have traveled quite a bit and I always put a really good European trip in every spring. And I've been doing that for many, many years. But I'm more, because we just started this, I'm a little bit more thoughtful about, like, I went to Portugal last year and instead of taking a ton of pictures of flowers, I took pictures of the ground and the walls, and that's where I got some of my geometric designs and not the flowers. So now I'm more directed in my mind as I travel. This year I'm going to go to Italy and Greece, and so I'm already thinking in my head, like, what would be the next kind of collection and the next design? And sometimes I'm wrong, sometimes I'm right, but I also have a couple pieces that are my fused glass that I took pictures of the fused glass because I made a lot of fused glass sailboats. And then I turned around and said, nobody wants a sailboat sitting on the front of their clothes. So then I manipulated different apps and stuff to sort of take it and wiggle it around. So if you looked at it, you know it was a sailboat, but it doesn't look like you have a big sailboat on your chest. So it's kind of an iterative process that I follow. I try something, it doesn't work. Not every design looks good on every different kind of style or silhouette. You know, certain things look great, other things don't. So it's kind of back and forth.
Incredible. And when you sell your designs to the client, do you normally tell the story behind each of the photographs, or is it just for yourself?
Absolutely. And I've really struggled with trying to, because we say art to fashion is sort of our tagline. And on my website, there's a story about where it was taken, what was going on. But you know, you have to keep it short and sweet because nobody really wants to read a bunch of words. So the whole premise is the story behind where I was, what I did, what was going on. And that resonates when I do a pop-up. That's the first thing I do when I stand up in front of, probably 95% are women, and it's usually a connection through somebody I know. And I go through the whole story that this piece was from so and so, and this is when I was traveling. Because some of it's kind of crazy too. Like I took a picture in the 1700s in Portugal in a town. There was this like old fireplace in this building that was closed up, and it had gold little squares, which you would think that looks junky, but then granite. And I took a picture of that. Because in my mind, I thought, you know, I can manipulate this to look really cool. And I did. So when I came back, I took that exact photograph and blew it up. So you could see this white kind of granite with the colors through the side. Those gold squares kind of looked a little browner. You know, I made them less gold so it didn't look like a clown suit. And that's turned out to be one of my best pieces. And then I played with that same pattern again, because animal print sort of in, and that sort of waved into kind of an animal print that people literally look at it and go, oh, I love that because it looks like an animal print. And I'm like, yay, accidental, but it worked.
Oh, incredible. And that's how most of the best sellers actually happen, from what I learned from other creative founders, that sometimes it's just a gut feeling that you should do something, and then it turns out to be a really great piece. What advice would you give to women and men who are navigating a career change at the moment or thinking about doing it? Because it's a very big leap sometimes to leave your corporate career or non-creative business and go into creative fields, especially if you never have a proven track record that you can do something creative. So what would be your advice?
So I think you just have to have the gung-ho-ness, feel confident in yourself to do it and know that you're going to have many steps that aren't going to work and that you're going to try this and it's not going to work. And I think it's perseverance. Like there were many times when I went, this is supposed to be fun. This is supposed to be just like another hobby. And then my entrepreneurial business mind jumped in there and went, oh, no. Well, you got to get this put together and this straight, and you got to hire this person and get the finance guy straight. So because I ran a business for 20 some years, I know what it's like to be in the very beginning and using every credit card you have known to man just to survive. But the perseverance, making good financial decisions, that to me is the most important part because a lot of times you don't have the cash to like manage yourself and pay your bills and also run the business and hire the people. So trying to figure out how to make the financial side work so that you can keep the creative juices working and just persevere. Like it's don't give up ever. And I mean, everybody says the same thing, but I think having your finances organized well enough that you can survive, because often that's what scares people. Like I'm making X dollars and I'm going to quit that with my insurance and with every bit of cash flow. And I still have to pay rent or a house payment and car payment. And I want to do this so badly, but how do I do it and still function? Because it's not going to happen overnight. You're going to have time. And even though I'm a type A personality and thinks everything should happen yesterday, I've learned another valuable lesson that it just doesn't happen that way, you know? Like, be patient, and you know, you got to love it. If you love it and you want to do it and you got that creative side that you just can't let it go. And it's always been in me. I just always had a very analytical career that didn't allow me to do this. I always did it on the side. But now that I can do it full time, it's just like, oof, I love it.
Incredible, Sherry. It's such a great advice for everyone who is listening because I 100% agree that you need to make sure that your finances actually work before you can do all the amazing creative things that you want to do because the blood of the business is cash, and if you don't have it, you're basically out of business.
Right.
And it's a hard lesson that a lot of people are learning along the way of their journey. So hopefully everybody who is listening will take this advice to heart and really take care of their finances first so they can create more, so they can bring some beauty to the world. Sherry, thank you so much for joining us today. I know that people that are listening can learn a lot from you, especially because you change your careers and decide to go into the creative fields. So thank you for this wonderful conversation.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on. This has been great.